So, as we all know, yesterday was election day. So we're going to begin today with a vote.
A vote? Okay.
I'm sorry, not here. Wait, we have index cards, everyone. Here you go.
Okay.
Gonna have a pen. I have a supply for you. Alex, Benjamin, Brian, and I myself will vote. As you know, the Prime Minister votes as well. As you guys were aware. They all voted.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, they do. They have pictures of BB voting.
So I was like, I wonder if they get their vote for themselves.
If anyone needs a pen, here we go. So, here's the question. We've been dealing the past 2 weeks, Kanai Nahara, with the sugi of Zeh and of Zeh Lo Chaser. Sugi of Zeh Chaser, Zeh Lo Nene, Zeh Lo Nene, Zeh Lo Nene, Zeh Zeh Nene. It's a whole spiel. And a lot of times the difficulty is really just understanding what is really going on, like who is really benefiting, who is really losing. So tonight's question that you get to choose: when Hashem created the world, and we were created, how would you describe that situation in the framework of Zene and Zechaser, Zelone and Zelochaser? If we are the subject, we are the Dar B'chatzar Shel Chavera. Right? Hashem made this world, put us in it, we're in his house. How would you describe this situation? You have 1 minute to vote.
Wow.
And then you must hand in your ballots.
Only your mind would work that way. That's the world.
The two parties being Hashem and
in us. Neandam. Yeah. Man and God.
I want to see the one that says that we're not Neandam.
Excuse me, you have to be quiet. Shai, did you hear the question?
Yes.
Okay.
We should just
wait. I don't really know how to answer.
Okay. The answer could be abstain. People do abstain from voting.
Yeah,
I need a good one.
But they usually abstain out of principle, not out of doubt.
Well, uncertainty can itself be a principle, depending on how like postmodernist you are.
It's humility, Judd. I'm not voting out of humility.
It's beautiful.
Who am I?
If anybody likes water, by the way, it's in the kitchen.
Can I go get that?
Cop's got his hole, I think. Okay, is everyone ready? Please hand in your ballots anonymously, face down.
We got a minute.
Wait. It's been two, Alex. Extra time.
I got
double time.
Okay.
He gave us extra time on the Kevin midterm today, and he gave us 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Then he gave an extra 10 minutes to everyone who already had extra time, because apparently it's like a 1.5 to 1 ratio.
Right.
Even for that.
Alex,
that was a chiddush, right?
Here we go.
Extra on the extra.
Right. We got a Zenene Vizelo Chaser. A Zenene Vizelo Chaser. Ze Vize Chaser. Woo, is that pessimistic?
Wait, Eliezer.
Yes.
Can I go in your ear? I had an idea.
Yes, you can say it out loud. Say it again.
Zenene
Vizelo Chaser. Everybody heard that? Okay, I'll cast your vote.
Is that allowed?
Thank you.
Absentee ballot.
I wrote Chaser, not Nene.
Okay, so Vizenene, Vizenene from Shai. Well, we don't know who did that. Zenene, Vizechaser. And Izenene, Vizechaser. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to defend yourselves.
Yeah.
I wrote the wrong
one. Who wrote Ze Vizechaser?
Also on the phone.
Meant to write Nene.
Which one?
Zev
Zenene. Okay, good. So you were shy. Okay, so how did that happen, sir? It's late? Brain is fried. Who wrote Zenene Vizelo Chaser? Why? You wrote it?
Yeah. Zenene, right, because we are being Nene from the world that has been created, from the ability to sort of, right? The whole reason Hashem created the world was to give us an opportunity to sort of earn our keep. Right? Zelo Chaser is that for Hashem it doesn't make a difference, right? That's what we always say. It doesn't matter Hashem if we do mitzvahs or not. It's all for us. So zeloch chaser. It's not a.
Yeah, he has nothing to benefit.
And you, the same thing.
No, yeah.
Well, you didn't write that. Oh, you did. You did. Good.
I was gonna say that it's not. It's that even if you like, so to speak, cared or wanted to lose, he can't lose because he owns everything. So like, when it's not like. He's not losing anything.
It's infinite.
Like, he always owns
the property.
You're saying, in theory, if he was paying something, he'd pay to himself.
It's like Bylus. Yeah.
Interesting. He has everything.
In terms of Bylus, yeah, he's definitely not.
Pretty sharp answer.
It's infinite Bylus.
It's a different kind of answer, but it's also the same thing. Cool. Okay. That's cool. So Hashem doesn't lose anything. Okay, and Zenen of Zechoser. That's got to be you two. Yeah? Zenen of
Zechoser? Yeah. So at first I thought it was Kofir by writing Zechaser, but I think that, like, whatever, we're not going to get too deep into that, and I think that we could say Zechaser because, like, Shem Hashem has a bit of a pgam with the imperfect world, so I thought Zechaser, like, we get the benefit from it, but Zechaser is that, you know, there's Chilul Hashem out there that is Zechaser.
And what about you?
I thought that sometimes, you know, I mean, Chilul Hashem, Virus, that when Kodesh Baruch was not Nana, so then he would be Chaser.
Aha. So by not benefiting,
not being Nana, he would be Chaser.
But then Yonah would respond.
That's a crazy shot.
Imagine if the neighbor got charged for
nothing. Okay, I actually thought, my first thought was like this. Zenana vizeh Chaser. Because what was the greatest Chil Hashem in history?
Holocaust.
Holocaust.
Korban
Bias.
Itadas.
Itadas, nice.
Egal Zav,
okay. I would say the greatest Chil Hashem in history was creation. Because creation gave the space for Kfira, for Kofar. The word Olam, right, we said before, comes from Helam, which means hiding Hashem. Right, a little bit according to, like, the
same time as the biggest Kiddush.
Yeah, but the word Chil Hashem means space. Chalal, right? When the world was created, Hashem kind of took a break from being everywhere and hid himself away. That's like...
I mean space in the sense of vacuum.
I'm still with
exactly.
Still,
a vacuum of clear Hashem's openness. Right? That's, in according to Kabbalah, the world was created in a Chol HaPanoi, an open space. Chalal Milashon Chil. Right, so the whole world, there's 7 billion people in the world, how many of them are following what Hashem wants? Mm. Not that many. Right? There's maybe, you know, a bunch of guys on a table here. And not so many of us. Right? So the creation was kind of the biggest Chil Hashem possible. So in a way, Zenana Vizeh Chaser. Because the fact that the world exists, there's so much Kfira, so much Chil Hashem, so much denial of what Hashem wants, in a way he's really losing, so to speak, by creating the world. Right? Although, I was wondering if it could be like Shai and Benji said, Zenene v'zenen. Meaning, oh, to dispel the last thing, it could be Zelonene, by the way. It could be Zechoser v'zeh, whatever. Because the Gemara says that it's better for man to not have been born.
That's what I was thinking originally.
Yeah, it's a complicated Gemara. The Gemara goes like back and forth. Is it better for man to have been born or not been born at all? Let's say nothing. Let's say, like, you know, there's a choice. Hashem said, can we bring Yonah into the world or not?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
what's
just
better
man
for
you? Or everything else? Just, like, you
let's say you
animals.
Specifically. Like, in theory, what's better for you to come into the world or not? I think Gemara ends up saying it's better. Had he not been born, but now that he's been born, what can you do about it? You gotta at least do what Hashem wants.
Well, how we know even.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's interesting, Gemara, right? Well, like, what's the point of the world then, right?
But you have a chiv to bring more people into the world, so that's saying that you have a chiv to
I guess
bring unfortunate.
An interesting question.
Well, if there was no
there's
point,
a question.
There's no point in the world, then, like, what would there be a point of? Like, what would you, like.
Yeah, you're right, I'm saying. Objective. I'm saying that's an interesting
yeah.
thing. That's,
yeah,
that's interesting.
That's
interesting, Gemara.
Doesn't apply to me.
No more pretzels?
No.
You can refill it if you want, it's in the kitchen. You're always dying, man.
I'm always dying.
There's a brown cord behind you. You could try to reach it. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, can it be Zenene Vizena? Can Hashem get Hana? Right, how do we define Hana and Shir? One in Kiddushin, Ephraim. The Ritva.
I would the Hana Kiddushin isn't the same as the Hana here.
But the way we define Hana is the same.
What?
One of the ways we define Hana in Kiddushin was something that you would pay for. If you're getting something you would pay for, so example, in order to be Makadish a woman, she has to get Hana.
How does that work with the Adam
How much? Sheva Hana? Sheva Pruta, right? That's the ring.
How
what?
Does that work with the Adam Chashev case? Like if she
that's
gets
a Hana.
Hana
that's a Hana.
That's something you'd pay for?
Yeah.
I would pay to give Chacham Ovadia
yeah, for sure.
to Sefer and him use it.
Seriously. And also also record the funai. If a guy dances in front of a woman and she enjoys it enough so much that she would pay to watch someone dance in front of her, that counts as kiddush.
Dancing is entertainment. Handing someone a gift.
Yes,
a
kashan adam chasha. The answer is yes. But anyways, the point is that Hana is defined by someone you pay for.
People play to meet sports players.
Yeah, of course.
They're not giving them anything.
Yeah, you pay.
They pay. They're willing to pay to give to meet them.
But that's anyways.
Adam chasha. I mean,
that's how it's defined in kiddush. So the question is subjective. Can you say the same thing about Hashem?
Wayne's last game.
It's a big night. Is it over the game? Best game
for yeah, probably.
Can you say that Hashem would pay for something that he's not going to pay for now that we can give him and that's Hana?
I would like to think so.
Yeah?
Otherwise it's a very bleak existence.
But that means that he can't get it without paying for it.
I mean, he created it on some
If
level.
You can get it without paying for it, it's not called Hana. Right, like if you don't need to pay for someone's home you're staying in, like we did like this week, mm-hmm. it's not called Hana if you stay there.
Okay, so then
the wrong theological
no
terminology
for the latter part. No, but I can get pleasure for something that I don't need to pay for, externalities and whatever
Sun.
Economics, right? So 10. Like you're not paying for something like some you know someone plants garden outside your red
mountain. You're still getting benefit,
and you're getting benefit without even.
I think you're using incorrect terminology, though. We're using very we're talking about very theological words that are being described by diction. Like, we want to describe God through time. Obviously, he exists outside of time. It's a continual spectrum. Here too, like you want to say God doesn't have to pay for something. What does that mean?
Right. So you are right and you're wrong. You're right because obviously you can't describe Hashem in any terms that we can have to talk about our world. But you're wrong because we are in this world and we can talk about Hashem from where we are because that's all we can do. Meaning we have to, on the one hand, agree we can't talk about Hashem and then say, okay, fine, talk, like we got to say something. So, like, anything we say is going to be wrong, but the best we can do. Right? So, have any of you guys ever heard of the relationship between a Mashpia and a Makabel? Yeah? So there's a very, very important idea called the Mashpia and the Mekabel. Mashpia is the one that gives, Mekabel is the one that receives. Right? This is a lot through a lot of things. Classically, man and women, who's the Mashpia? The man, and the woman's Mekabel. Usually the Mekabel is able to turn that into something else, but the man's Mashpia, woman's a Mekabel. Okay, what about a poor person and a rich person?
Mashpia is the rich person.
Okay. Okay, Rebbe and a Talmud?
Yeah.
Rebbe Mashpia. Mashpia,
exactly. That's it. So I'm with the Mashpoin. Mashpoin, yeah. So
why do we say Makabel instead of Mashpoin? Because no one's using Mashpoin. It's all the Hebrew teachers.
All right, so let's tell a little story. You got an Ani and you got an Ashir. Right, you got a poor man who goes to the door of a very, very wealthy man and he asks him for money. So what's the halacha? What's the best way to give someone tzedakah? Anonymously, right?
Or, I mean,
what?
Give them for something.
Give like in the job, even, right? That's the best way. But what if there could be a better way, even? I mean, that's the best way to give tzedakah, right? Anonymously, I don't know. But in another way, I mean, that's according to the halacha. In another way, there's also an unbelievable way to give tzedakah, which is in the way of the mashpi and the makabel. I actually didn't give these out. Here. Yeah, I have exciting makoros today. On the picture in the front is another great picture of Rav Kook.
Oh,
as always. What?
Oh, this time I can read makoros. Wow, I've never seen this one.
And in the back we have a gaon tzaddik Rav Kluger. Shlita. So, what? Oh, yeah. Kluger. Oh. So, if Kluber explains, take a look at the back over here. So it's number test. This comes from a Sefer Yichudas Bodlus. I've been learning it this year. So he's explaining an idea about the Mishpim, the Kabel, that the best, a better way to give tzedakah is like this. Look, Reishis Hadavar Shemashpia Kones Eleves and Makabel, Ba'ofet Shemagadol Komaso. The Mashpia, the rich man, can welcome the poor man into his house in a way which raises the stature of the Makabel. Hainu Shemakabel Margish Be'ercho V'Sameach Be'yoto Makabel. The Makabel can begin to feel self-esteem as a Makabel himself. Derech Mashal. Ka'aniya Magia Beis Hanosein, the poor person comes to the giver. Dein Hanosein Mestapik Be'etzim Hanesina. The guy's not just going to give him money. Ele Meir Pana V'libo V'Sameach L'Kroso M'vate Zos B'mir Tov She'igata. Kayotze B'zeh. Ba'ofen Zeh HaMakabel Gidol Komaso V'nikar Erko Be'ina V'lachar Mikin Makabel Ba'ofen Acher L'gamrei. The guy comes into his house and he says, thank you so much for coming. I'm so happy. I was waiting for you to come. Look at the next paragraph. Beram Yesh Nesina Acheres is another way of giving. This is a couple of pages later in the Sefer. Shahanose in the giver, Mekadem es Mekaba Bamir Mechabedas, that the rich person, the guy who's going to give the money, says something, you know, honorable. Kigon Tov Ma'od Shabbat. He says, a poor person comes over, imagine this, a poor person comes to ask for money, and you respond, I'm so happy you came. Mavia Pinima, you bring him inside into your house. Term Shemadabim Klal, before anybody even says anything, Al Tzarchos, Al Mamon. The guy didn't even ask you for any money yet. Rashis kol meir panav, panim la'avro umaralo shesamech b'zeh sheyigia. First thing you do when the poor person comes, you say, I'm so happy you came. I was dying for you to come. La'achar mikein kasher makabel mesapres, and it's out that he tells him what's going on. He says, I'm trying to raise money for my daughter, she's getting married. Omer lo nosein, the giver responds, kama choshu v'inyan hazeh be'inai. I was waiting to give money for Achnasas Kala. It means so much to me. Thank you so much for coming. I needed to give money to Achnasas Kala. They become the Mashpia. Exactly. This is called raising some stature. That you raise the stature of the Makabel to himself become a Mashpia. And this is, I'm not going to say it's better than the other way of anonymous tzedakah, but this is an unbelievably deep way of giving tzedakah, of helping somebody else. When someone comes to you for help, they come low, they come with a bowed head, and you can go over to them and you can say, I needed you. Right? When someone becomes a tzedakah collector, like, I've actually spoken to someone about this, like, the beginning is a very, very traumatic kind of experience. You're trying to be yourself independent, all of a sudden it's like, now I need, depending on everybody, I'm like, I'm always lower than everybody else. I'm inferior. But the godless of this is you're raising them up. You're raising them to say, you're the Mashpia, I'm the Makabel. So, this is called Hagdalas HaKoma. The crazy thing is that it's not just that this is how we should act towards other people who are in need, but it's in fact the way that Hashem treats us. We are obviously the Aniyim, asking for things from Hashem all the time. We can't breathe without Him. And you know, he's obviously the usher. He's giving us. He's the mashpia of the capital Mem. But check this out. Check this out. Turn the page a little bit. I'm just going to run through a couple places. It's a very, very interesting piece in the Zohar. This is in the Chelek Gimel. It's in like, I think it's in parts of Vayikra or something. I don't remember exactly where it was. And he's talking about Korbanos, Hashem Baruch Hu. And he's talking about Korbanos, and he says that Hashem won't, so to speak, eat from his meat until the Ketoros is brought. Because when the Ketoros is brought, then Kilu B'nai Yisrael are eating. That's kind of what he's saying. The Suda de Malka is waiting, it's Akiv. Look at the third to last line. You know, he's talking about the Reich Nechoach. Val Das Suda's, the end of the line. De Malka is Akiv. When the Suda of the Melech, Hashem's meal, is held back, begins Suda'sa de Avdoi. Until we are ready to eat in the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem does not, so to speak, eat from the korbanos. We begin kach in this way, Yisrael nefarnase levien sheba shemayim tanina. In this way, says the Zohar, we are the ones that are giving to Hashem. We're enabling Him to eat, which means we're basically putting food on His plate. Right? That's how the Zohar says it. That's number one. Straight up, we are mefarnasin, we're basically giving Him money, we're paying His salary. Right, something else very, very funky. Look in Shira Shirim. Tzenera'ena benos tzion. We're going to read him at Hashem in 2 weeks. Tzenera'ena benos tzion b'melech shlomo ba'atara she'echelo imo. B'yom chasunaso v'yom simchas liba. You know, take a look. You know, the day that the crown is going to be given to Shlomo Melech. Very interesting. Go to the Medrash right under it, third line. Story of Rav Chunya. Amar Rav Chunya, Shol Rav Shimbar Yochai, as Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. Amar lo, Efshar Shishamata me'avicha, ma'u ba'tar she'etolim. What's pshat with this pasuk? What does it mean, the crown that his mother gave him? Amar lo, ini ava pshat. The Melech shahayitza lo bas yechida, king had a daughter. Hayohava Yosri, they loved her a lot. Lo zaz mechabi, he loved her, he didn't even move from his love for her. Ashikara osa achoso. He loved her even up to the level of a sister now. Lo zaz mechava ad shekara osa imo. And the father of this daughter eventually called him my mom. He called his own daughter his mother because of how much he loved her. Kacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechavi bes Yisrael. This is how Hashem loves us. On what level? Of level of us being his mother. Right? It's probably the strange... And at first, it was the strangest things I've ever read. It's like, I'd never heard of us being called Hashem's mom before. Very, very, very strange, right? It's very weird. But like, it's right here. Right? And look at the last line. Amad Rav Shimbar Yochai, when he heard this vart, Neshaka al Rosha, he kissed him on the head. Amar lo, Ilule lo yatsasi la olam el shmoa tam zemi picha dai. If I came to the world just to hear this vart, that's enough for me. That Hashem is our mom. Oh no, we're Hashem's mom, sorry. What does that mean, we're Hashem's mother? We're the mashpiyim. That Hashem created the world, that we care for Him. What does that mean? What does it mean we care for Hashem? No? What could it mean?
Well,
Hashem need our care?
I guess so.
That's what you were saying. It's that Hashem puts us in the position to be seemingly, or raises us up to be the mashpia. Even though really we're the makal, we're the ani. Hashem's the rich gevir, and you know, what he does is he's like, oh, I needed you. I needed you to give the korbanos. I needed you to do all these mitzvos.
But what now? What does Hashem need us for now? Like, how are we caring for Hashem in this moment, in 2019, in this place? What are we doing?
Well, the korbanot analogy that you brought from the Zohar could be generalized.
Yeah.
It's too long now.
Oh, so that's actually a good part, right? Look at Tehillim Chav Beis. This is Purim. Eli Lam Zaftoni, Rachel Mishwas Di Rishagasi, Elokai Akra, Yom Lel Sen of Lali Dumili, Ata Kadi Joshua Tilos Yisrael, says Tozak of Yosef, Ksiv Ata Kadi Joshua Tilos Yisrael, Hashem is holy, Yosef Tilos Yisrael. He's kind of sitting on it. Hashem is Baruch Mamtin and Mitzap and Masi Agili Lo Shevach Adav Mi Yisrael. Hashem, like you were saying, he's waiting for a Tfilos. Kimaod Mor Chaviv of Ne Hashem, Yisbarach Tfilos Yisrael, and then it's all recited together in the Yiddish. Hashem Yisbarach Zitz Oifa Tzitze von Tfilos Yisrael. I think that was accurate. What? That Hashem's waiting for it. So you got that right. That our Tfilos give him Nachas. What else? What else are we doing in caring for Hashem?
I mean, everything I wrote is Hashem.
Okay, how's a care for him?
Well, Tam Torah, Tefillah.
How's a care for him? Meaning, how is it doing for him?
He asked us for it.
Saying, so it's fulfilling his request, and therefore it counts. Okay.
I don't know if this is touching upon the same question, but there's the philosophical debate of, did God decide morality, or is there an objective set of morality that God is prescribed to?
Okay.
So I think the latter is correct, and if that's the case, then we're together with Hashem objectively fulfilling what the sense of morality is.
Really? I have an apostate against you. I think that Hashem decided morality. Because we could talk about it another time. It's a good reflection article on that, no? That's a good discussion. That's what? It is in. Maybe it's in Bias Light.
Either Bias Light or like one of the first things in the
Faith. I remember, yeah. So, I read it freshman year. Here. So this in class. It's awesome. I feel like it was part of class. Yeah,
Jewish
engagement? Jewish
Shaft.
What? Jewish
engagement.
Yeah, Jewish engagement. It's fantastic.
You
heard
that teaching
last semester?
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we're all right. Right? You guys are all saying it right. Hashem looks for us. He needs us. He gave us a mission. As we said, Hashem created a world of like a chalal, sort of an empty space. And it's a chil Hashem. It's a chaser unless we can make it a nen. Unless we can get involved. Unless we can daven. Unless we can change things. We can make things brighter. And this is actually the Indian of Pesach. Right? This whole idea of Hashem making us a mashpia. Because when we were in Mitzrayim, did we deserve to get out?
No.
Not really. Kind of, though, right? Because b'zchus what did we get out?
Avos.
Avos? Yeah, it's actually correct. But it's the wrong answer right now. I'll tell you in a second.
Mila.
Yeah, Mila, you're right. Mila.
And
names and
I think it's the Don. I think it's the Donim. It could have been Shloshino. They didn't change their names, their clothing. And it, other Midrashim say it's because they did the Bris Mila was a Shabbos. Mitzvah that enabled us to get out on Shabbos.
I also think that it was promised.
And Karban Pesach. And that's right. So Lamai said there's like these mitzvahs that we did. And we did things right that just helped us get out. But Rav Kook says in a letter, he writes a letter, a 15-page letter, Igeres Tufkuf Nun Hei. The first, and I was like, I knew this idea was in this letter. His first two lines of the letter are, "Thank God I have like nothing more going on right now. I can just write as much as I want." So I was like, okay, fine. This is gonna be a long time to find it, but and that's not what you want to see in the beginning of like a letter. Where you're trying to like find one paragraph. But Rav Kook says that we did not get out of Mitzrayim because of something we did. Right, Shai, this is where you got it right. Because of who we were, he calls it segula. There's segula and bechira, says Rav Kook. There's segula, which means who we are, and bechira is the things that we choose to do. So we didn't make it out of Egypt because of the things we chose to do. We made it out of Egypt because we're Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. But we got those mitzvahs, and this is what I would suggest, because to make it seem like we deserve to get out because of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is like this whole idea, because Hashem sort of, He wanted us to deserve it. He wanted us to give something in order to deserve to get out. So even though we really got out because of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Hashem promised us to get out, but we did a mitzvah. Hashem was magdil. Otherwise, we're just mekabim. We're just a poor person getting money. But if we are able to give something to the effort, so then it seems like, you know, we feel a little more self-esteem. We feel a little more proud of what we've done. So you can kind of explain that's what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Hashem turned us into the mashpia to get us out of Egypt. So part of this bonus that we need to do on Pesach is think about this idea that Hashem made us into a mashpia. And like you were saying, Ephraim, our goal in this world, right, the name of Rav Kluger's Sefer is Bini B'chor Yisrael. That's what we're called in Mitzrayim. Right, what's the job? Anybody here a B'chor? Yeah, two? And Shaya. So you're three. The interesting thing about being a B'chor is that the B'chor is the closest in age to the parents of the whole family. Right, so you got a family of five. You can have the youngest sibling be 40 years, mamish. You could have a 40-year gap between the youngest... Yeah, 40 years.
Exactly.
Like, you could think your parents are from a different world. Like, if the youngest parents, like, the youngest kids and old parents, like, parents are, like, 60 by the time, like, you're a teenager. Like, it's totally not shy. It's like, what is going on here? Like, you didn't even get anything. Right? But...
That's gross, Yoni.
But the Bechor is the closest. The Bechor can be 20 years difference, and that's not such a big deal. Right? Like, you can be friends with someone 20 years older than you. And my dad told me his word is that the Bechor is the bridge between the parents and the rest of the family. Because he has the same language still as the parents because they're in the same generation. But he's the same generation as the kids. 20 years below, 20 years above, he's in the middle. So the job of the Bechor is to transmit the language of the parents to the kids and the values. That it's a big role. Chashuv. So Bnei Bechor Yisrael, which we're called when we're leaving Mitzrayim, is kind of a recognition of our job as Bechor. Make a noise there, Shai.
What's up?
I'll take you off speaker if you make a noise.
Oh, sorry. Wasn't me. it wasn't me, but...
That our job is to kind of be the Bechor of the whole world. Bnei Bechor Yisrael. It's not that we're different. It's not that we're like better, we're more of a child. We're just the Bechor. So we need to transmit Hashem's message to the whole world. And He made the world needing us to do that, even though He doesn't need anything. Like, you're right, Zenem Zolachasar, He doesn't need anything, He's everything. But the way that He created the world, Benji, and this is what I was saying, you're wrong, you're right, is because, yeah, He doesn't need anything, and the Maisa Be'emes, Zenem Zolachasar. but also Be'em as Zenene v'Zenene. Because Hashem made the world to make it seem like He needs us. As it's clear, He needs us, right? So, our job is to, A, be the Bechor and fix the world and do what we need to do. But the job on Pesach, I think, is to think about the fact that Hashem took us, an Ani, coming to the door to say, please save us. And this is what He does every single day. And He turns us into an Ashir. He makes us a Mashpia ourselves, which is should give us self-esteem. It should give us joy and warmth and love. How much He loves us to do that for us. He didn't have to do that for us. He could have just given, whatever. And if someone gives you $1,000, $1 million, you're appreciating it. But it's even greater when they make it seem like you're giving them. And that's how much Hashem loves us, that He didn't even just give us. He made us feel like we too are the givers. And that's the beauty of what we can think about in Pesach, of Hashem's love for us, that it was so much deeper than just giving, it was turning us into givers ourselves. And you know, Yisrael... Well,
that's another reason why you can't end Sefer HaGevulah with Yetziat Mitzrayim, because they weren't givers until they got the mitzvah.
Until they got the mitzvahs. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why...
The Mishkan to do it. So hardest yeah. example is the Korbanot. So until those got rolling, we weren't really the Mashpia yet.
They're
acting.
Right. And even now, we were Mashpias in different ways than we've ever been. And I heard Rabban Magid say today that Nirtza, right? The word Nirtza means I'm wanted. So, right? Culmination of the Seder is to really realize that Hashem really wants us. He really needs us. Right? Yisrael is Osios Li Rosh. And we're the Rosh. We're supposed to lead the pack. That's our job. And I think that the difference between hearing a nice idea and like really feeling the idea, feeling Hashem's love, is Heimanti Ki Adaber, is what we're going to say on Hallel and Pesach. Is Heimanti, when am I going to believe this? When is it going to mean something? Ki Adaber when I talk about it. So we've begun talking about it. We've got to keep talking about it. You have to tell these one or two people about this idea, right? You talk about it more. Realize that Hashem is giving us the opportunity to be givers. He loves us. Shalom Yisrael. You know, like that's what we gotta do. That's what we gotta do. I think it should be a beautiful Pesach. It should be good.
Sure, I think it's also great that today is sibling day.
Oh, really? So it's sibling day, day two of election day, and Dwayne Wade's last dance.
That was last night, I thought.
That was the last dance in Miami.
Yeah.